Hello, this is Violet Reed with her father, Matt Reed. Say hello, Dad.
Dad says hello.
Okay, and it is 2:43 on November 25th. Okay, so where were you earlier today, Father?
Today?
Yes.
I took you to your mountain bike practice, otherwise I've been at home.
Okay, cool. Okay, so what I would like to talk about is I've heard that you took a trip to England and Spain, am I right?
I did.
Okay, cool. Okay, so what did you take to England, Spain, where you went? Okay, what did you take? Like, what were your essentials?
Well, I made several trips, but the first trip I think you're referring to was my first trip to Europe, and that was 1991. I just graduated from college, and I wanted to go surfing in Europe. So I sold everything I owned and took off for Europe, with the UK being my first destination, with no set agenda other than to see how far I could go with the limited amount of resources I had. So I took with me a backpack, my surfboard, and my wetsuit, and in a journal.
I also heard, that's really cool, that's not that much stuff. Did you write in the journal, like, along the way?
I did. I kept pretty good notes. I also had, back then we had these disposable cameras, and I had, quite a few of those. I had probably half a dozen to a dozen of those. I just kept acquiring them as I went along, taking pictures of people and places I went to.
Did you ever get the photos developed?
No. So, towards the middle of my trip, I was in Spain at that point. My van that I purchased in the UK, and took all over Europe and lived and traveled through, got broken into and everything got stolen out of it. So not only did my pictures all get taken, but my journals did too. It really sucked.
That is horrible. So, this leads into my next question. With the van, how did you get the van? Because I know that you didn't have the van starting out with.
No, so my first destination is I flew into London, and then I took a train to Wales, where a college roommate of mine was from, to visit him. So I spent 2 weeks in Wales, and while I was there, I went to a used car lot, and I found an old ambulance that they were decommissioned. It was about ready to go to the junkyard. And I picked it up for a few hundred dollars, and I built a bed into it, some storage, and put surf racks on it, and that's what I took across Europe.
Okay, cool. That's really awesome. So, did you meet any people along the way that helped you?
I did. So, initially, I went there with a friend of mine from San Diego. Her name was Janelle. So it was a friend of mine that I surfed with. And she also knew my friend Jeremy in Wales. We'd all gone to college together. So that was fun. And so she stayed with me through a better part of the trip. So from the UK, we went to took the ferry across to Hoek van Holland in the Netherlands. And then drove up to Amsterdam. And then from Amsterdam, we worked our way back down south, surfing northern France, then jumping over to Paris. Then coming back down to the south of France and surfed there, and then went across into Spain. And then we were in Spain for quite a while, and I surfed, met a lot of people in Spain. There's a famous surf place there called Mendoca, and that is like the equivalent of the North Shore is to Hawaii. It's the big wave destination in Europe. So we surfed there for close to 2 or 3 weeks. And I caught the biggest wave I've ever surfed in my life there. I almost died in the process. And then from there, I met a bunch of, European surfers. So the group of us decided to go down to Portugal, where another one lived and was from. And then from there, we went to Madrid, and that's where Janelle left. And then from there, I ended up hooking up with those guys, with three English surfers and the Portuguese surfer. And then we traveled throughout Europe, and then ended up getting a job in England after that.
So, okay, so your van was pretty large, am I right?
It's a normal size van, you know. But we made, it was big enough for that six of us would sleep in it at one time.
Okay, yeah. So who slept in it? I've heard that you met a lot of people, so, like, did a bunch of people sleep in it? Would it, like, rotate out, like...
Yeah, well, initially, it was just, you know, Janelle and I. But when we got to Mendoca in Spain, the parking lot there was like this international, traveler surfers. So there was three guys from England and the guy from Portugal. They had their one van. There was two guys from New Zealand, and then there was another van of Australians. And then there was these guys from South Africa. And then there was these guys from Peru, and then there was French guys. It was really cool. And then we'd all hang out every night and cook dinner together in the parking lot. We'd all kind of put our vans like in a circle to create a windbreak.
And like a wagon trail?
It's kind of like a wagon train, yeah, or a wagon circle. And then, we'd all cook and drink, and we played this game called Peg, which if you lost, you had to put a clothes peg on your ear to the next hand. It hurt really bad. But we just tell stories until late hours of the night. Then we get up first thing in the morning, have a cup of coffee together, and we'd all paddle out and go surfing. And one of the biggest waves in Europe.
Did you ever lose at Peg?
I lost many times. It hurt. It was a game of chance, but it was fun. We all, it was a lot of camaraderie.
Did Janelle win because she had so many ear piercings? If she had any, I don't know.
She did have a lot of ear piercings. That probably did suck for her. Never thought of that.
Suck? No, she could just stick it in her ear piercings.
Oh, hang on for one of her earrings. She may have done that. She was pretty crafty that way.
Okay, so you met a lot of these people, and when you met these people, like, did you immediately, like, what happened? What I asked previously was, like, did they ever sleep in your van, like, and then travel with them farther on? Like,
yes.
They come with their group and then you move on?
So, the guys, the three guys from England and the guy from Portugal, that was Miguel from Portugal, Stuart, who you met from England, and then there was Darren and, I forget the last guy's name. Anyways, their van broke down. When we got to Portugal, everyone kind of split up, and Janelle decided she was going to go on travel separately. And so those three guys jumped in my van. And then we decided to go up to Andorra, which is a little tiny country between France and Spain. And we went there, and we got jobs working at a ski resort. And we were, in the winter. So we worked there for a while, and then from there we worked our way back, drove up to all living together out of my van, in the mountains. And then we went back to Paris. So I met a friend of mine there for a week there. Then we ended up going back to England. And then from England, I ended up staying in England for quite a while working.
How many countries at the end of this? Not countries, but countries. How many countries did you end up visiting?
That's a good question. So one would be England, and then from England I went to Netherlands to Belgium, from Belgium to France to Spain to Portugal. So six countries, I guess.
That's impressive. That's how much time did this take you?
I was gone for almost a year, and it was very, exciting part of my life. It really expanded my world. It introduced me to different people, different cultures, different points of looking at things, different classes of people, from different backgrounds, people that had no money whatsoever to people that, that had extraordinary amount of money. So it was really interesting exposure to me, coming from Southern California at the time and being pretty limited in my exposure to different cultures and people.
Nice. So I'm going to ask a little bit more about your van. So how did you make food? Like, that's...
Oh, so I built a little kitchen in there. So it had I had a camping stove. And so we eat a lot of soups. So that you basically add, you boil the water, you add the soup mix to it. And, what's great in Europe is that all those countries have bakeries and, all over the place. So we'd always have fresh bread, cheese, get, different cuts of meat, you know, just go to the markets and, you know, get little things to go with the soup. I ate lots of soup. So, and occasionally, you know, we're different in the cities. There's all these, you know, vendors that have these, like, carts that, in France, the steak and frites, which is like steak sandwich with french fries inside of it on a baguette. And you can get those pretty cheap. So, but for the most part, we cook, you know, just out of my, we just go to the grocery store and make soups, you know, ready-made soups. We lived off that a lot.
So, were you all kind of for your own? And how did you fit six guys, like you mentioned earlier, six people in your van? Were they all sleeping on that one mattress that you had in there?
There was three people that sleep on the bed, and then there was, we made like another temporary kind of bed that went across the two front seats, so somebody could sleep there. And then between the front seats and where the bed was, there was a flat part. You can get two people in there if you had to. And but most of the time it was four. Let's see, one, two. There was five of us. So yeah, it was tight. Yeah. And then different places along the way, we'd meet different people that would have like a couch or something like that, so it would free up room in the van. But you know, we were really young, and we were totally into the adventure. So we just kind of just made do with what we had. And we were there in the fall and in the winter, most of our travels, that's when the best surf is. So it was cold outside. It was like when you're in the van, it was nice and warm and cozy. Although having that many guys in there, it sure got stinky at times.
So we've talked a bit about your van, the people you've met, and where you've traveled. So what's your most interesting story? What do you feel is one of the top, you must have a bunch, but what do you feel is one of the top things that you've had to just live through? Like, cool, it doesn't have to be one type of thing. It could be cool, it could be anything. What's
one of your favorite stories? Yes. From my favorite stories, let's see. There's lots of stories from this trip, but one of my favorite ones, I'll share a couple of them. One was one time we were staying in Spain at Mendoca. There was a town called Oviedo, which is about an hour and a half away. And that was a college town. So we would go from this little tiny fishing village where we were staying and surfing into Oviedo to go have to party a little bit. And so I had not been there yet, but Miguel had been there, and his van he had taken it to get repaired. So he had found out about this party from these girls that there was a party on Thursday night. So he convinced several of us to go with him. So we drove his van, and his van broke down again. So,
immediately?
No, right before we got into town. So it was close enough where we could all, we had to push it for about a quarter mile. We pushed it to the service station where it needed to be, the auto shop. And they were closing up for the night. And so they said they'd have the parts in the morning to fix it. So we were like, and so Miguel goes, come on guys, we'll find some place to stay. You know, this we're going to this big college party. So we go to this place where Miguel said that these girls had told him to go to, and there was nobody there. And then Miguel realizes, oh, he speaks like seven languages, that he gets Tuesdays and Thursdays mixed up between Spanish and Portuguese. So it was actually on Tuesday, not Thursday. And so we were on there on the wrong day.
So you missed it by 2 days?
Evidently. So we go back to try to get to the van to sleep in it, and it's locked up inside the shop. And so we pulled our money together, and we did not have enough to get a room anywhere, even at a hostel. And all the hostels for some reason were booked up. So we found, you know, this cardboard, and we're getting ready to crawl on this cardboard for the night, and this homeless person screams, no, it's my house, give me back my house. So we had to give the cardboard back to them. And so then it got really cold outside, So then they had this ATM machine that had like a door on it. We can go in and it would close behind you, so it'd keep you warm while you did your transactions. So we took turns going into there and taking like a half hour nap inside the two of us could go in there and get warm, take a, you know, rest for a little bit, and we just rotate out between the four of us that went on this trip. So that was kind of a funny thing. But another experience when I was there was in Portugal, and we went to Miguel's had a family. Had a house up in the mountains, and so we went to this place in the mountains, and it turned out that the next door neighbors were jazz musicians, and they had this like little party, and I had never listened much to jazz, but it was on that night and on that trip that I fell in love with jazz. They played, you know, it started in the evening, and they played all the way through till dawn. And they were amazing. They just had these different musicians that were, you know, come over and they'd change out. And it was an amazing night. And I still remember that. And then another fond memory was, you know, waking up in the mornings at Mindaka with Stuart and sitting there listening to Led Zeppelin as the sun came up. And looking at the waves coming in from this little port that had been there since the 1600s, that we would, you know, then put on our wetsuits after our cup of coffee and paddle out and catch some of the best waves I've ever caught in my life. But yeah, it was, and then there was busking in Paris. Again, we had no money. So one of the guys had a wild idea that, hey, since we're, you know, English and American, let's, you know, and we can sing a little bit, let's just start singing songs. So we sang Rolling Stones songs very badly, but we entertained enough that we were able to get enough money to scrape together to help the one guy that had not enough money to get on the ferry to get back across. But there's tons of little stories.
Did people like when you sang?
Oh, we were horrible. I think they're paying us to shut up, actually.
Did it work?
Yeah, well, kind of. We'd shut up until the next group come and we start singing again. That's probably what they did. It was just like they were, I don't think it was out of pity. It was just out of, you know, the self-protection of their ears.
Do you think they were bleeding?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, thank you for the stories. One final question.
What's that?
How many times did your van get broken into?
The van only got broken into once, but they cleaned everything out. The interesting thing about it was the only thing we really had of value. I mean, I had my Walkman in there, which sucked. I had some, that was my music, and they took my Walkman. They took all my clothes, you know, which wasn't much. But they took the whole backpack, so they got everything. That's why they got my journals and my photographs, my film. But yeah, that was right in the center of Madrid too. We'd been out that night, you know, carrying on, and we came back at dawn to see the doors of the van all wide open. But they didn't take any of the surfboards. They took all our clothes and our backpacks, but they left the surfboards behind. And the surfboards were the things that, to being a surfer, was the most important. So we got pretty lucky. And they didn't take Darren's guitar either, which I thought was kind of strange.
Oh, one final question.
Yeah.
Would you take this trip again if the opportunity came up?
Heck yeah. It was, I can't advocate enough to young people that travel is by far is equally as important as to anything else. To any educational experience you may have, travel is probably one of those most important ones.
That's really cool. Okay. Thank you for this story. I hope to talk to you next time.